appreciate each one that's here this morning. Most of all, I'm thankful to be here.
Amen.
Desire your prayers. The Lord has laid something on our heart that will cover everybody in here. It'll go with you from the time you get saved to the time you die.
Amen.
This is something that when the Lord started dealing with me about, He let me know that it's an absolute. It's not something that you might skip around once in a while and get away with, but it's something that you're going to have to do. If we're going to make heaven, there's something absolute that we must do from the beginning all the way to the last breath. That is, we must surrender ourselves. This is individual. It's between us and God.
Yes.
The God knows if we've done it or haven't done it.
That's true.
But it's something we must do.
Yes.
We've got to surrender ourselves. Our will, our way, our ideas, our points, our plans
yes.
has got to be surrendered to God sometimes every moment of every day.
Yes.
A while back, I had got to a place that I discovered I was angry with God. And I really didn't discover it at first. And one night I made a statement. I was by myself and I was praying, I guess it was, and I just kind of railed out. And it hit me upside the head. Carl, you're angry. You're angry at God. And what had happened is I felt like He had told me He was going to do something and He never did do it. I felt He had promised it to me. I felt like He had said, this is yours. I felt I had scripture. I felt I had backing in every way. And yet it never came and never has come. It never will come. I don't guess. And I found myself angry. Well, I went to two ministers and talked to them. And then I went back home that night. Well, I talked to one of them at one time, another time. It wasn't the same time. And the second one, we had prayer and spent some time together, and he was most loving and gentle and kind. And went back home. The Lord told me that night, He said, I can take care of this for you. I can help you with this.
That's right.
And I said, all right. Then the next morning, as I woke up, I lay in bed praying, and He said, what you need to do, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to surrender, Carl. You've got to surrender yourselves also.
Amen.
And not just to the preachers, the deacons, the pastors, the evangelists, the deacons or the trustees or the leaders. It's everybody.
Yes.
Everybody must come to a place in their experience to get saved, sanctified, satisfied, blessed. Everything about it, we're going to have to surrender ourselves.
Lord, help
us. All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 5 and 27. He said, go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall see. Speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me, and the Lord said to me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. Oh, that they were such a heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, and that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Now, Isaiah 1 and 18 through 20, it said here, it said, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, they shall be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing, and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, the Lord this morning, he said, you're back in Deuteronomy, he said there that we will, see 27, said, hear all that the Lord our God shall say, speak thou unto us all that the Lord your God speak to thee, and we will hear it and do it.
Yes.
Now, folks, we're going to have to do what God says we got to do.
That's so, Lord, help us.
There isn't no ifs, ands about it. We've got to be obedient. It says over here, he said there, if you be willing and if you be obedient,
yes,
you shall eat the good of the land. Listen, folks, if you want an experience with God, and especially a deep experience with God, you're going to have to be obedient to God. You're going to have to be willing. You're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to turn loose. You're going to have to allow God to do with you what he wants you to do.
Yes.
We've got to do that. We can't. Somebody said, well, I'm not a leader and not a this, but you're a saint.
Yes.
And the Lord uses saints, and he works with them, and he deals with them. And when I get through here, I'm going to touch everybody in this building, for the bottom line is this thing covers everyone.
Yes, that's all.
All right, let's go to Psalms 104. Let's get the prims out of the way, and then we'll move on. Psalms 104 and 24. He said, O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. All right, I want back to Isaiah. I want Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. It said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Yeah.
Now, he said here, how manifold are thy works. Now then, in when the Lord give me this and begin to deal with me, sometimes we struggle with surrendering, because we maybe don't quite feel the Lord can handle this thing. Or he can do this or do that. But the bottom line is, he said, how manifold are thy works? Look at all that God has done. He created everything, including you.
Yeah.
Now, if he's got that kind of power,
yeah,
and that kind of creativity, listen, folks, today, if he can do all that, he can do anything.
Yes.
And he can take the things we surrender to him.
Yes.
He can take us as an individual, and he can do something with us. Praise God. It's something that God is able. It said, in wisdom has thou made them all. Listen, folks, as we turn everything about ourselves to God, our ways and our life, and give it to him, he's got the wisdom and the knowledge and the know-how to work with that day in and day out. But we've got to give it to him. Gotta say, this is yours, Lord. I don't understand this. There've been times that I felt like I didn't understand something, but I placed it in the hands of God, and I'm giving it to you, Lord, to do what you want to do. I don't understand this leading and things like that. There've been times that I've gone places or the Lord said, don't go. It didn't make a lot of sense to me at the time, but I felt like the Lord was leading and working and dealing, and when I done what he done, when the end was said, it was perfect. But that was surrendering to God, see?
Yeah.
There have been times I didn't want to do something. Or there have been times I wanted to do something and felt like it. But the bottom line is, said the Lord said, go or stay.
Yeah.
We've got to surrender to the wisdom of
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
We've got to surrender it to the power of God. We've got to surrender it to the love of God. Because he loves you. He died for you, and he wants to help you and bless you and use you.
Yes, amen.
And oh, you're going to say, no, I'm not calling a bunch of people to preach this morning. I want to call you to a deeper work with God.
Yes.
And that is a surrendered life. Turn loose. When we get into the Word and see the people, they had to surrender. They had to give it up and turn it loose and give it to God. And when they did, God will bless. Go to 2 Kings. 2 Kings 5 and 1. Very familiar story here. of Naaman. You've heard this story of Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. He was a great man, a master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his Lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." The king of Syria said, Go. And I sent a letter to the king of Israel, and he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 chains of raiment. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill, to make alive, that this man doth send to me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh the quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes and sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." Yeah. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariot, stood at the door of the house of Elijah, and Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and he went away, and he said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abanian far more rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he went away in a rage. Yeah. And his servants came near, spake unto him, and said, "My father, if the prophet bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much more rather then when he saith unto me, wash and be clean?" Then he went down and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. Now, leprosy back there was a feared thing.
Yes.
It was a horrible thing. And when you run some things on it, it is a liking to sin.
Yes.
Leprosy eats. It destroys. It damages from the top to the bottom of the head, the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. It does great damage. And so you think about him here. He was in a very bad position. He was a position that hadn't been put in a leper colony yet, but he was a man that needed help. Listen, today sin is damaging the United States at a great rate. It is doing great multitude damage day in and day out, night, day after day, week after week. The leaders can't seem to stop it. They're in tune. Some of them are not even right. Some of them are doing things they shouldn't be doing. And consequently, sin is doing great damage to the whole United States and to the whole world. He come down, this little maid. This little maid said, "Now, you know, I know somebody can help him. He, all he got to do is go and do what the man says." So they sent, and he went to the prophet, and he stood there, and he thought the prophet was going to come out and pray over him and do this and do that. Instead, he sent something out, somebody, a servant out, and the servant just told him, "Go wash."
Yes.
You know, sometimes we tell in the Word of God what people must do to be saved from sin, and they go, "I'm not going to do that. Forget that. There ain't no way I'm going to forgive somebody." There have been people, folks, that have come down to our altars down through the years, and they have prayed, and they've gotten everything taken care of but one thing. And they've actually gotten up and walked away from the altar and gone back to their seat. This happened over and over and over at times down through the years. There was a man in Kentucky. He had bribed a company and had stolen money from them. And he knew that if he got saved, he'd have to confess it out. He knew if he'd done that, he would go to the penitentiary. He'd come down and pray and he'd get up and go back to sleep. And he'd done this night after night. He wanted it. Do you want it this morning? Do you want the peace and the joy and the pleasure of living for God? The blessings and the rest that you can have? Do you want this? Listen, folks, he wanted it, but he had something that was hindering him. Listen, folks, people's got things in their closets that can hinder them, and it's time to get them out. It's time to turn loose. It's time to surrender and say, I'm going to tell it out. I'm going to confess it to God. I'm going to walk away from it. I'm going to do what I got to do. Remember the wisdom. Remember the power. When we give to God and do what God wants us to do, folks, listen, he can take anything and work with it.
Yes,
yes, that's so.
Well, this man, after several nights, he got to praying up in the morning, one morning in the hills of Kentucky. Now, I love the state of Kentucky, as I call it. It's a beautiful state, and I've had a lot of blessings out there and done a lot of preaching, especially back in the early 80s. But I'm going to tell you something. About 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, he came out of his tent and he was shouting. He was beginning to wake up everybody in the camp. What had happened? He prayed through. And he said, I'm not going to hold on to it anymore. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And he done that. God saved him. He delivered him. And he took care of the whole problem, praise God. Listen, folks, we need to clean out our closet. We need to clean out our drawers and be willing to tell what the Lord is wanting us to surrender, to turn loose, to give to him, no matter what it is. If we got to forgive somebody, we got to pay somebody back, or whatever it might be, we need to do it. But it's this kind of preaching, some of that people go, no, I ain't going to do that. If a policeman comes up to you and he says, stop in the name of the law, what are you supposed to do? Supposed to throw your hands up and surrender. Do you realize that when people think about it, and there's people that fight, they pull guns and they start shooting. One of the saddest cases in our area happened. My daughter is a licensed paramedic. She's done it for several years. And Brother Paul said it last night in a way, that when something happens, it's all hands on board, or all hands on deck, however you want to say it. And there was a policeman that had got shot by a man. And my daughter rushed to the scene. Another person rushed to the scene. And they was working. And that policeman died. It broke the hearts of a lot of people because he was just a young man. He wasn't an old, sold out veteran, so to speak. He was a young man. But he got killed. He got killed by a man that if you cross him, he's going to pull that trigger. Listen, there is people that think now if I surrender, I'm going to go to jail. I'll go to prison. I'll this or that. And so they'd rather try to fight their way out of it than to surrender. But you know what happens spiritually when we surrender? What happens spiritually when we surrender? Spiritually, the Lord frees us, delivers us. He takes care, he washes all of our sins away. He gives us peace and joy. It's just the opposite. See, you might go to jail on the natural side, but on the spiritual side, praise God, when we surrender to God and turn loose and give up and say, Lord, it's your, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a blessing you can't get a hold of. So Naaman, he had to give up. He didn't like the idea of washing in the old blood, of the old, not bloody Jordan, but the old dirty Jordan. And all these others were better. And he was in a rage. He was upset. There's sometimes people get in a rage, they get upset, and they don't want to do something. But I'm begging you this morning to surrender. I'm begging you to turn it loose. Whatever's hindered you of getting a deeper work with God, hindered you for salvation or sanctification, a calling or whatever it might be, I'm begging you this morning, it's time to surrender and give it all to God.
Lord, help us.
Say, hear my Lord, do with me.
Yes, Lord.
So, servant said, well, spake unto him, said, My father, if the prophet bid thee do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? Well, see, this is what Naaman's used to. He had won battles and wars, and he was a great man. He was lifted up by the people. So consequently, he had this pride and this deal. And the man said to him, if you had done it, he had told you to do a great thing, you'd do, oh boy, that'd been nice, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And when it hit Naaman what the man was saying, his own servant, so to speak, was saying, he thought, hey. So then he went down. He went down and he washed himself 7 times. Now, this looks like the most austere thing you could do is to go wash in a river 7 times and you'll be cleansed. But listen, God can take anything and do anything with anything.
Yeah.
It said in that day, in the house of Jerusalem or house of David, it said there will be a fountain open for all sin and all uncleanness. Listen, the idea that we're going to be washed in blood maybe just don't set with some people, but that's the way you're going to get to heaven.
Yeah.
You got to wash in this fountain. All right, let's go to Matthew 19:16 of Matthew. Surrender. Are you surrendered to God today?
Yes.
And behold, one came and said to him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and if thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said to him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet?
Yes.
Now this morning, this young man was a good young man. He is far better than I'd say the multitude of the people today. There's people out there that is doing several of these things that's breaking the Ten Commandments and going against the very things that God set in place. But this young man was a good young man.
Yes.
But he had a hang up.
Yes.
And he said, What lack I yet? And Jesus in another place of this type of reasoning said, One thing thou lackest. One thing thou lackest. I was in a home not too many months back, and the father and the mother and a daughter was there. This daughter's a little younger than Molly and I. And watched her since she was a teenager. And she was just going over all these things, kind of bragging per se. And I'm sitting there thinking, I thought, well, you're a good person in your own eyes anyway, but I got news for you. The Bible said, One thing thou lackest.
Yeah.
You lack one thing, salvation. And this young man, he said, What lack I yet? And Jesus said to him, If thou wilt be perfect. How perfect do we want to be? Do we want to be free from the things that has hindered us from a long, long time? There's people that go on in life and they allow things to drag them down and to hinder them and to hurt them. And I'm going to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to help you with that. He wants you to surrender that thing and say, I want to be free, praise God.
Yes, amen.
So, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, somebody said, well, that's pretty severe, Brother Carl. The Lord don't ask you to surrender anything but what will hinder you and hurt you, or that will put you into a better position in working for God or whatever. But this young man had this one thing. The Lord knew that if he allowed him to keep the money, it was going to be a hinder to him. There is people can handle money, and there's people that can't handle money. And if it's going to hinder you, whether it be money or whatever, a job or a business or whatever be there, the Lord said, I want you to give that to me. I want you to surrender that. I want you to do all. I want you to do something else. Sometimes it's a vocation. The Lord's wanting us to surrender. He said, and he told him, Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, folks, how much better treasures can you have? There's no thieves can get to this treasure. I'm going to tell you, there. I read a deal the other day where some people are down in old Mexico, and there was a lady with a financial company, and she had got these people's attention and had treated them real good and got them all into her corner, and then she got their accounts and started draining their money. And one day, one of them, it shows on there, he's telling his wife, he said, she goes, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "There ain't nothing left. If you have treasure in heaven, that won't happen." He's telling him, "I want to give you something better. I want to give you some riches that are eternal. I want to give you some power and authority. I want to give you something that you'll have victory, praise God. You can lay all this up in heaven, and the thief can't take it, the devil can't take it, and nobody can get it.
Thank the Lord."
And then come and follow me. The greatest man he could ever walk behind was the feet of Jesus. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh, today, what's hindering us? What is hurting us and hindering us? The Lord. He wants us to surrender the things that are slowing us down or hindering us, hurting us in every way. He wants to work with that. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel, the 12th chapter. Desire your prayers.
Bless
the
Lord.
My old throat hadn't had a workout like this in a good while. You know the story of David? How David walked out on his rooftop and looked down at a woman, sent a man after her, and she come to him, and things happened between the two of them. Then she come up with child, and then David's in a mess, and what am I going to do now? So he calls in there. The husband comes in that's married to this woman, and he told him, said, "You go down and, you know, go down and spend time with your family and your wife and so forth." And he didn't do that. When David found out what he didn't do, and David knew what was going to happen to him, he had him killed, so to speak. He covered it up and he hid it.
Yes.
For a good while, he hid it. And now then, but the thing of it is, we can hide something, but God knows it.
Yes, that's so.
You got anything hidden?
Lord, help them.
And the Lord said, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him, and he said unto him, "There were two men in the city, the one rich and the other poor. And the rich man had exceeding many flocks and herd, but the poor had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drink of his own cup, lay in his bosom, and it was unto him as a daughter. There came a traveler unto the rich man. He spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man."
Yes.
"Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I give unto thee thy master's house, thy master's wife, and to thy bosom gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if it had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in the in his sight? And thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I'll raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly But I'll do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, and the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because of this great deed thou hast great, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme the child, to blaspheme the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. David done a horrible, horrible thing. There is people that have got secret things in their lives that nobody knows about. What about the one that, I'm trying to think of his name, the one that took the armor and the gold wasn't hit, dug a hole.
Achan.
Who?
Achan.
Achan. Achan done something bad too, but it wasn't as bad as this. He done exactly what God told him not to do. David did too.
Yes.
But David hid it. He hid it. Both of those men got in real trouble with God. But David was willing to say, I'm going to surrender this thing. I'm guilty. I've sinned. I've done what I shouldn't have done. And I'm wrong. It takes a man to do that sometimes.
Amen.
Admit. Sometimes people have to admit something to several people or to a family or to a body. That ain't easy. But you're going to have to surrender to do it. And God is going to say, you need to do this. What do we need to do this morning? Where are we at with our experience or without an experience? The God said, I want you to surrender. Listen, there is people today that's killed a lot of people, not with a gun or with a sword, but with their mouth.
Yes.
They have taken and literally said things that has damaged people's reputation and hurt them. And maybe nobody knows where it come from, but it's out and it's done the damage and probably ain't no truth to it at all. But those people have been hurt.
Yes.
God knows who said what, when, and where. He knows exactly what happened, and he wants us as a body, if we have done something to damage people and done some gossiping and backbiting and talking that we shouldn't have done, he wants us to surrender, turn loose, and admit that thing.
Yes.
He said, albeit because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Great occasion. David was not just anybody, folks. He was a highly celebrated person.
Yeah.
He was a great soldier. He was a great king. He was a man after God's own heart. Now you put yourself in God's shoes and consider that this was a man after your own heart. And you say, well, how could he be that and do this? Well, if you go back and study, David kept all the right laws. He done all the right things. But he just got caught up in a deal where he lusted after a woman and went after her and done what he shouldn't do. And then he couldn't cover it up. Well, he did cover it up until he got caught.
Yeah.
The best thing for us to do is cover it up before we get exposed.
Yes.
The best thing is to surrender now.
Yes.
And tell God all about it. And say, Lord, I'm going to give this thing up. I'm going to surrender this thing. Whatever it might be, you know your heart, you know your life, you know what you've done.
Yes.
And the Lord said, I want you to surrender that.
Yes.
I want you to turn this thing loose. I want you to give it up. There have been people that's had affairs on their companion and maybe been covered up for several years. Maybe they done it, got away with it, and it never was exposed. I know of a case that was murder. And it appeared that a husband killed his own wife. And the only way possibly that that anybody knew anything was the children of this man and wife. They suspicioned something and they said a few things that triggered it off to the family that possibly he's the one that killed her. They never did find out who done it. It ended up just being a cold case for many, many years. And then guess what? I had the privilege of preaching his funeral years later. And then I found a newspaper article in my mother's house when she went to a nursing home. We was going through things. I found a newspaper article telling all about this. I didn't know she had it. And telling all about it. But the bottom line, it looks like he pulled off the perfect crime. It looks like that he wasn't ever caught. I don't know that he was even questioned very much. But the bottom line was God knew who done what. Amen. And now that he's out in eternity, I don't know if he repented of that. I don't know. I had to be careful in how I preach the funeral. But the bottom line was, listen, David pulled it off for a while. This man pulled it off for the whole time. But the bottom line is, if you can pull it off and cover it up against anybody, the bottom line is God still knows about it.
Yes.
So it's time to surrender it now.
Yes.
He's pointing the old gospel gun at you, saying it's time to give it up. It's time to confess it. It's time to surrender it. It's time to turn it loose. It's time to get down to business. I preached a message in a congregation one time and laid out some things. And I didn't know the hornet's nest I was stirring up, Sister Sherry. I tell you, I got some men upset with me. And they wasn't happy. And so I thought, well, maybe I shouldn't have done it. So I went to another minister and I talked to him about it. He said, you've done the right thing. And he told me why. Listen, you can get upset with the preacher. You can get upset with the leaders of the congregation. You can get upset with your wife, or you can get upset with your husband. But the bottom line is still God has required us to do what we got to do.
Amen.
And if we want to go to heaven, we got to do it. So David was willing. I'm the man. I am the man. I have sinned against the Lord. And over in Psalm 51, they talk over there and talk about it's a Psalm of David, and he goes to great depths. If this is a Psalm of David, and he said, and he's done the things that he said in the psalm to do, it's one of the most precious ways to get help that you could ever ask for.
Amen.
All right, let's go to Exodus now, the 3rd chapter, 7th verse. Exodus 3 and 7. I'm going to talk about a great man here. His name is Moses. And the Lord said, 3 and 7 Exodus, the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrows, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, look at, consider, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of our fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is thy name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. All right, let's go to the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. Now, I've got a lot of reading here, so don't know. But Moses answered in the 1st verse, 4th chapter of Exodus. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath appeared unto thee. And it goes on down in the 10th verse, and Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither hitherto nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And then you get down to the 14th verse. What the bottom line was, when you read all of the 4th chapter, Moses was making excuses.
Yes.
How many excuses have we made?
Lord, help us.
And in the 14th verse, and finally, Moses pushed God far enough. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well, and also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee, and when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart." The anger of the Lord. Now, saints, we get saved. One of the very first things you ought to do is testify to the goodness of God and his salvation.
Yes.
And a lot of times that happens. But if you're not careful, you don't go on and deepen down in testimony. You know, get up, you, anybody can say, "Well, thank the Lord I'm saved."
Yes.
I say anybody can. Some might not be able to do it. But here's the thing. The Lord wants you and I to testify.
Amen.
Of the things that God has done for us, to show his power, to show his authority, to show his love, to show his goodness, to show his power. And yet we do that. We don't want to do that. And it hinders us. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to surrender yourself to God and say, "Lord, I will testify in front of people. I'm a slow of speech. I'm this, I'm that. But if I make a big fool out of myself, I'm still going to do it."
Amen. That's right.
Moses said, "Well, here I can't talk. And what about this? And what about that?" And finally, God's anger got a little bit kindled. I wonder how many people's got a good whipping behind closed doors because they didn't do something the Lord wanted them to do. What about testify to friends and family on the job? How many of us in here has had opportunity and maybe been prompted by the Spirit of God to testify to a friend or to a family or somebody on the job and we didn't do it? How are we going to get other people saved? I know of a case where a woman is so bound with cigarettes, at least she was. I really inquired lately. Well, yeah, I guess they have too. I think she still got the problem. And her husband's not saved, and he had gotten real close to salvation at one point. And I was working with him, and I'd done everything but drag him to the altar. And I said, "I am here for you." And so I talked to him, and I worked with him. And I couldn't ever get him there. Well, later he told me about his wife was so addicted to these cigarettes. And she had tried this and this and this and this, and she never could get over it. Couldn't get victory, so to speak. Couldn't get clean of it. I said, "Did you ever tell her what God could do?" He looked at me. I said, "Did you tell her of what you heard? Have you heard of the victory people have gotten because of Jesus?" "Yeah." I said, "You ever tell her that?" "No." I said, "You better start right now. Help her to see that there's a way out. There is people that get so bound sometimes and so tied in these things, they get to a place they don't feel like they can get out of it. They don't feel like there's no victory. They don't feel like there's no deliverance. They don't feel like that they can do what they need to do. And they struggle and they struggle and they struggle. And they try this. I know a man now. We've been friends over 50-something years. He said, "Carl, I can't get rid of the cigarette. I've tried this and I've tried that. And I can't do it." Listen, your testimony of what God has done for you is a great blessing to other people. Young people, middle-aged people, old people, I don't care where it's at. God needs your testimony.
Yes.
And if you ain't doing it, you need to surrender.
Yes.
You need to say, "Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do."
Mm-hmm.
Hand out tracts or take a tract, etc., to somebody. Have we ever done that or ever struggled with doing that? What about call somebody on the phone? "Well, I'm not a preacher." Don't have to be. Call them up and encourage them. Now then you can text them. And let them know that you're praying for them, you love them. give them your testimony, whatever it might be to be. What about go visit somebody and take a meal to them? And you struggle with this. I hadn't been in Shawnee very long. Matter of fact, we moved there in the end of April, and this was the July, 4th of July weekend, and I know two of us got sick. I know wife and I got sick. I think the girls got sick too. We were bad sick. And there's a congregational member brought us two deals of soup. One of them was homemade chicken noodle soup. The other was something else. And I'm going to tell you, that's some of the best chicken noodle soup I've ever eaten in my life. I can still almost taste that. It was so good. I'm thankful she'd done it. There's times that we want to maybe do something or feel like the Lord would want us to, but you know what hinders us? We want to do something on our own. I want to go fishing, or I want to go hunting, or I want to go see this, or I want to go over there and do that. Listen, folks, we must surrender our point to God for Him to be able to bless us and use us like He wants to.
That's right.
And so she brought that stuff over. Oh, it was such a blessing. Now let's get down something deeper. And this is where people start squirming here. But what about surrender to accept a gift from God? All right now.
Lord, help us.
All right, Brother Carl, watch out now. The gift of helps.
Yes.
There is the gift of gifts in the Bible of helps. There's a gift of, I don't know, remember all of them right off, but there's different gifts that's explained in the Bible. And there is people that want to do something for God, but then God says, well, I want you to do this, I want to give you this gift. And I go, no, I don't want that. You're going to have to surrender. You need to surrender. If the Lord can give you a gift of helps or whatever it might be in the Bible, a gift from God, we need to accept it. And you're more than likely going to have to surrender your heart to get it.
Yeah, so.
All right, let's go a little deeper. What about a calling? A calling from God. Whether it be a calling to sing, teach, be a missionary, a preacher, a pastor, evangelist, whatever the calling might be, a calling from God. Now, saints, I have dealt with, I've not been able to recall the third, but I know I've dealt with two situations where people were called of God. Now, the thing of it was, I'd known these people for years, and I had been in pastor in a certain congregation very long before a brother come down to the altar, and he was telling me, he said, God called me to preach, and I rejected that call.
Oh, Lord.
And I could hardly believe it. His wife was a preacher, and he didn't think they needed two preachers in the family, so he said, no, I'm not going to do it. And he stood against it, and he stood against it. And guess what? He got down to a place that he was getting into a tight spot with God, and he was going to have to do something to do it quick. And I said, you need to surrender, or whatever. I told him, bottom line was, you need to accept this. And no. Listen, another case I know of, this was a sister. If I named this sister's name, most of you would probably know her. And she got down on her deathbed. And she had rejected the call to preach for many, many years. And now that she's facing eternity, somebody said, Lord, or somebody said, Brother Carl, I can do that. No, you can't. You can't just reject a gift and it go away, folks. If God wants you to do something, you got to do it. And you're going to have to surrender to do it. I don't care what your age is or what your race is, how old or young. The bottom line is God says, I want you to preach, I want you to teach. And yeah, I can't do it. You can be like Moses all you want to. But the bottom line is He can help you to do anything He wants you to do. And she got out on her deathbed. And she got to calling me her pastor. And she got to confessing to that thing and begging for mercy. Because she was fixing to die and go out into eternity. And she discovered then she'd made a bad mistake. I'm telling you, out of the depths of my mouth and out of the depths of my soul, if God is dealing with you with a gift or a calling, I'm going to beg you to take it, to accept it. I don't care how much. much you got to pray. I don't care how much you got to fast. I'm going to tell you to surrender to the bottom and let God have His way with you. Because if you don't, you will deal with it again. You can't sweep it under the rug like Brother Paul was talking about the other night. You can't sweep that under the rug and not do anything about it. You're going to have to do it because God has given you something that's a mighty powerful something out of heaven. And He wants to use you to bless people, whether it be in a congregation, or be a pastor, whether it be an evangelist, whether it be a missionary or whatever. The bottom line is He wants you to do it. All right, it's getting quiet now.
Lord, help us.
If I'm not preaching you the truth, you can talk to me.
Yes, Lord.
But I've dealt with this. And it's when I saw the horror of these two people that I loved. I helped preach both of them funeral. And both of them got right. But they had a struggle. They had to do it. They knew that they was in trouble and they couldn't get around it anyway. It was staring them in the face, and heaven and hell was too. They done what they need to do. You're going to have to do it, folks.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to get harsh with this, but it's a heavy. When I get into this, this is a heavy on my heart because I was there. I'm not making this stuff up. I was dealing with two people faced eternity that God had called to preach the gospel. And somebody said, well, you can just walk off and go another way. No, you can't. Not in this case, because I found out real quick it ain't going to work.
Yeah.
There was a scripture, I don't know right now where it's at, but one minister told me that he was, I guess, considering, he had preached for a while, loved him dearly, we were close, and he got weary and tired, and I guess he was considering doing it, and the Lord spoke to him and gave him this stick, said, woe unto you that preach not the gospel. There's a scripture, something like that, I don't know where it's at. But woe unto you. Oh, I'm begging you with everything I've got. If God is working and calling you, no matter what it might be, He wants you to do that. And you're going to have to surrender to accept it. And you're going to have to stay surrender. Because if you don't stay surrender, you'll get to a point where you might want to walk off and not do it anymore. You have to stay surrendered. You got to stay surrendered all your life. What about exhorting for God? You know, there's a gift of exhortation. I have seen it do wonders in meeting.
Yes.
I've seen people miss it and it hinders service. But I've seen people that have the gift of exhortation that they would follow up behind a message and nail that thing down, pow, 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 pow. And do a beautiful job and the altar work would happen. Or this would happen or that would happen. Listen, if the Lord is dealing with you and He's given you the gift of exhortation, I want to plead with you to accept that gift and surrender your own ideas why you don't want to do it and so forth and say, I will do what God wants me to do.
Amen.
Surrender.
Yes.
We're going to have to surrender all the way from point A to point Z. Because if we don't, it's going to get us into trouble. It'll get us into trouble. And it could get us far enough that we could be lost over it. All right, let's finish up. Let's go to John, the 5th chapter. John, the 5th chapter and the 36th verse. I get in the right spot to read right. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, have borne witness of me. And ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent. Him you believe not.
Oh,
says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come. You're holding back. You want surrender. You want turn loose. You want give up. He says, and you will not come to me. I am Jesus. I am the Savior of the world. I am the one that's been prophesied of for many years, and I'm here. This is all me. John the Baptist, 6 months ahead of me, he laid it out. I'm coming right in behind him. And now then, you want to reject me. And if you reject me and don't surrender to me, you're going to get in trouble, Israel. You're going to get in trouble, Pharisees, Sadducees, hypocrites. You're going to get into trouble. And you had not come to me that you might have life. Listen, folks, today if we're going to have it, we're going to have to get it at the place where it's at. And that's Jesus Christ. He said, if any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink. I've got the water of life. I've got it for you. Come and drink of this. You might have life. Eternal life. Eternal life. All right, let's close. Philippians. 2nd chapter, 5th verse. This here is the last surrender. There will be a last surrender. You can fight God all of your life. You can run from him, hide from him. You think you are anyway. You can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to get down to the end and you will surrender to God. And he said here in the 2nd chapter, the 5th verse of Philippians, he said, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God or with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He surrendered. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And because he done this, because the Son of God come down and done what he needed to do to be able to make a plan for you and I that we might have victory and power, because he's done all this, therefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. He come to the depths and now he's exalted to the heights. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can live a life any way you want to live it. If you want to do that. But you will surrender. You will confess that he's Christ. You will come to a place that you'll see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you will bow down before him and admit you're Jesus Christ. And I made one big mistake when I didn't accept you. When I didn't repent. When I didn't confess. When I didn't forsake. When I didn't surrender to the gifts and the callings. I beg you. I don't know your hearts. But I want to tell you today that if you're not accepting something that God's trying to give you, I want to beg you to do it with everything that's in me. Because I know that you will deal with it someday. Turn it down if you want to. But you get down to the end, you're going to see that he's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's done everything, and you hadn't done the things, and you're in trouble now, and it's too late. You've done stepped out into eternity, and there's no changing things. When we step out into eternity, folks, that's his eternity. We can run all we want to here, but when we get out there, we're in his place then. We're in his area. I was praying one time in Mervyn, Missouri. We were over there for a family reunion, I think. Anyway, we were in Cousin Harlan Sorrell's house. Most of you know who Singing Sorrell, who Singing Harlan is. And we were there, and I woke up. I was down bowing and praying, and I had a vision of Christ. Now, this is a little bit different than the one I had in the archway that he said, I died for you. But I saw him in a way, and he was standing there, and he was like a man that is fixing to go through a graduation. He had a great banner right here, hanging there, and that banner said the Word. And I could see that that was Christ. I can't tell you what he looked like, but what he had on was beautiful. And this banner right here, the Word. Some people want to change it. They want to twist it. They want to flip it. They want to flop it. But folks, when we get down to the bottom line, we're going to bow at the feet of the Word. Of the one that has written this book. The one that made the plan. The one that has all power. And you're going to come to the place that you're going to have to admit, he's the one that I've rejected all these years. I wouldn't surrender to.
Yes.
It's time to pray. Let's stand. Appreciate your time and attention. Let's look to the Lord. Let's pray this morning. If you need help, the Lord's here to help you. I appreciate your time and attention this morning.